many crazes did you have?
Two perfect boys.
What's in the bloody Congo?
Mercenaries.
What about Stephen Dukes?
Dukes is no longer a primary interest.
The cobbler would have used something called a last, which is basically the shape of the man's foot carved in wood. I want to find out about Miles' father.
Hardly anyone knows what happened to Freddy the Dick.
I'm not crazy. There's nothing wrong with me. I can do the job.
No one has worked harder than DCI Cazenove's team with the Organised Crime Division.
You're suspended pending an investigation.
Think I'm a mole.
Those little oiks have Parliament by the balls.
Well, they have the press. They have the police.
What we have here is the new Federation of Crime. It's been made very clear to me that we're the enemies now.
You're a dead man.
Rupert Penry-Jones as chisel-jawed D.I. Joseph Chandler. Phil Davis as grey-haired D.S. Ray Miles. Steve Pemberton as round-faced Edward Buchan. A montage of London streets, people and the crazed. Written by Ben Court and Caroline Ipp. Produced by Grain Marmion. Directed by David Evans. Miles drives at night with Chandler in the passenger seat.
We can't go home. They're going to be waiting for us. We need to go to ground. Anonymous, untraceable.
That's not fighting, that's hiding.
That's common sense. What good can you do if you're dead? And the Cray boys want us dead. They made that clear enough.
But they failed, didn't they? We're still alive. It's our move, our advantage.
Chandler takes a slug from a whiskey bottle. A London skyline at night. Tower blocks with illuminated windows. A train. Whitechapel. Chandler's filling the car with fuel. Miles climbs out of the driver's seat.
Where are we going next?
I'm not telling you.
But what kind of answer is that?
Chandler goes in a kiosk. Miles stands on the forecourt looking into the nighttime darkness.
I'm not telling you because I don't want you talking me out of it or telling me what a stupid idea it is.
Fine, don't tell me. But it is a stupid idea, and I know that, because you come up with it after drinking half a bottle of scotch.
Chandler takes a swig.
And it's blended.
A country road. The car indicates and turns into a drive by a large house.
Who lives here?
Family friend.
Look, we've been shot at, betrayed, and you have definitely had one too many at the bar. You're in shock and you're pissed. This is not the time to be making big decisions.
Miles, just check on the others. I know what I'm doing.
He gets out of the car. He goes to a brick gatepost. Inside, Anderson gives him coffee.
You're drunk.
I was supposed to die tonight.
Are you OK? Were you wounded?
Wish I hadn't been wearing my favourite suit.
His fingers poking through a hole.
Do you remember when this was taken?
A photo of two boys.
It was the summer before my father died.
You're part of my family. You know I wouldn't see harm done to you.
Is that your way of saying you didn't know the craze would try to kill me?
When I asked you to investigate the death of Lenny Cobb, I had no idea it would go this far, no.
How much did you know?
Well, I knew about Jimmy and Johnny. I knew that they'd corrupted their way to power and created a federation of crime. I couldn't attack them openly, and I knew there was only one detective I could trust.
What are you gaining from this?
Destroy the craze. Expose the corruption at the heart of Parliament, the police and the press, and you create a vacuum. A space for someone to step in and lead.
You?
Then I could help you. I could restore your reputation, see your ambitions realised, give you the world, if that's what you want.
You're a kingmaker.
Well, I've always been the power behind the throne.
In McCormack's kitchen.
Come on, girls. Breakfast! You'll be late!
Yes, what is it?
We need you to tell us when Chandler's coming back to London.
Nah. I won't do that. Yeah, I know what you said, I remember. But I'm telling you now, I don't want to do this anymore.
You better think.
found Mansell, he's all right, but I can't get in touch with McCormack.
Try him again. Ed, it's Joe. Listen, I want to tell you about what's going on.
Ginny?
No, just...
It's Ray. I'm sorry to call you at work, love. John's not answering his mobile. Do you know where he is? It's important. Yeah, thanks, love.
Ginny comes out of a back door and heads to a garden shed.
John, come out of there!
She wraps her coat around her.
Ray wants you!
The redhead, a long plait hanging down her back, slows as she approaches the shed. Looking towards the small window, she crumples. She runs to the house. A montage, a hand, a doll covered in dirt, the craze. Jean is in the street. Miles drives along the road, pulling up by Jeannie. She runs over to his window.
He's in the shed, Ray! He's in the shed! No, no!
She's sitting on a low front garden wall. Miles and Chandler run into the back garden to the shed. McCormack's hanging by the neck. Miles cuts the rope. Chandler eases him to the floor.
He's gone.
Now you can't give up on him.
Miles begins heart massage.
I'm going to call Dr. Llewellyn.
Not yet!
Chandler's on the phone.
Yes. Just get here as quick as you can.
John!
No, no, stop.
I can help!
We're too late! We all were!
He pushes Mansell back, who smashes a garden chair. In the kitchen.
He was always so loyal, and the Crays destroyed that. He'd helped them about the meeting with the CPS. So they were able to send an imposter. John said the Crays threatened me and the girls, so he had no choice. Livy and Scarlett mean everything to him. They never said Kent got blame. And that really broke John. He was so ashamed.
A mortuary photographer.
All done.
Okay, thank you.
Dr. Llewellyn, in a plastic apron, steps closer to McCormack's body.
Ligature marks, slopes upward. Tissue damage from compression of the neck. There's no signs of cyanosis. And the compression site suggests that death occurred following stimulation of the vagus nerve and subsequent cardiac arrest, rather than asphyxia.
She touches McCormack's bare shoulder and goes. In an incident room, Chandler's looking at a photo of a boxer. DC Mansell puts a bag of sweets on McCormack's desk in a drawer.
This is Freddie Mills. He was a boxer who owned a nightclub, and in 1965 he was found dead in his car behind the club. He'd been shot. At the inquest, the coroner ruled that it was suicide, but Ronnie Cray had threatened Mills' life, and he'd shot himself in the eye, which is unusual.
So what was it, murder or suicide?
No one knows.
You think McCormack was murdered?
And they made it look like suicide.
Just like Freddie Mills.
So they did kill him.
Dr. Llewellyn comes in and hugs Miles.
Oh, so sorry.
She kisses Mansell's cheek and shakes Chandler's hand.
I'll spare you the details. My preliminary findings, everything I've looked at so far, are consistent with suicide.
No. It was murder.
The knot. He only knew one. He used the same one on everything. He tied it.
They made him tie it.
It isn't difficult to detect asphyxiation. There's always bruising, petechiae, cyanosis. But he died because when he hung himself, he compressed his vagus nerve. It stopped his heart. It was quick. And it was self-inflicted.
Chandler stares suspiciously at her.
I don't believe you.
What? Why?
You're telling us what the Crays told you to tell us. They want it to be a suicide, so you find suicide.
I really don't know what to say. That's so extraordinary.
No, you're wrong.
They got to McCormack. They can get to anyone.
Not her!
Chandler slowly lowers his gaze, blinks, and turns his head towards Dr. Llewellyn, keeping his eyes lowered.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
She picks up her bag and files, then goes.
I don't pick sides. I just let the facts speak for themselves.
Chandler's sitting at his desk and picks up a bottle of vodka. Miles comes in.
Please knock before you come in.
With respect, sir.
He sits down.
You can't lead this inquiry if you're drunk.
Not drinking to get drunk.
So what is it?
I'm self-medicating. If I drink, I stay in control. If I don't drink, then... You've seen my demons. It's either this... or standing in a room turning the lights on and off 150 times.
Miles nods slightly, then stands.
I'll close the door behind me.
Chandler stands a hip flask on his desk and unscrews the cap. He inserts a funnel and pours vodka. Feet in shiny black shoes ascend a 60s-style staircase. The pair of legs in police uniform trousers cross a checkered floor. It's Anderson. He stops in front of several whiteboards.
Your attention, please. I'm shutting this inquiry down with immediate effect.
Why? Why would you do that?
Because the Krays are no longer an operational priority.
Tight-lipped he goes. Chandler's come out of his office and catches up with him on the staircase.
When did the priorities change?
I'm merely responding to the political climate, and as of now, it is more expedient to consider the Krays allies rather than targets.
What have they got on you? Money? Sex? What is it?
You've been drinking. You're not fit to lead any inquiry.
He gives Chandler a shove. Miles joins Chandler.
Leave it.
He sees a group of officers.
What?
He scowls, then guides Chandler back up the stairs. DC Kent's on his scooter at night. He's at a door numbered 103.
Ah, welcome. From now on, it's three knocks like this.
Where's the boss?
Buchan peers out.
Follow me.
He gestures for Kent to come in.
That's it. Here we go. We've been waiting for you.
The team are gathered around a table with Anderson. Buchan and Kent sit with them.
Thank you all for coming. First of all, for the record, I'd like to say that the Krays do not have any evidence to use against me. That was a fabrication.
Subterfuge.
Designed to convince everyone that we are no longer investigating the Krays. In fact, as of now, you are officially seconded to arts and antiques. At this very moment, you're down in the West Country, hunting down flagons, I believe.
That'd be Jake.
Angie Brooks gets up from her couch where her son Jimmy dozes.
Hello, darling.
All right, Jack, come in.
A blonde boy hands Jimmy tea.
All right, boys.
He puts a case on a table. Assorted weapons are inside. Johnny peers at them from his chair.
See anything there you like?
Well, we've tried guns. Give me something new. Something exciting.
The blonde boy has his arm around Jimmy.
What about a car bomb? I know an ex-army bomb disposal guy. He can make you the most beautiful little devices you ever saw.
Well, car bomb's what did it for our dad.
Well, times have changed, you know. Car bombs now, they're magnetic. You just roll them under the car.
Still, bombs feel unlucky.
Chandler standing by a flip chart.
In 1967, the detective hunting the Krays, Nipper Reed, found his inquiry to be full of spies. He needed secrecy. So he announced that the investigation was over and relocated a secret team to Tintagel House. As far as Scotland Yard were concerned, they didn't exist.
This is our Tintagel House, and we are being led by our very own Nipper Reed. No doubt Jimmy and Johnny Cray have copied their father and set up a Fort Valence at their mum's. And she'll be playing the part of Violet Cray, the adoring mother who could see no wrong in her darling twins.
He gestures, zip it.
The head of the murder squad, John DeRose, gave Nipper Reed 3 months to catch the Crays. We have 3 days.
Why only 3 days?
I cannot guarantee your anonymity for longer. You're surrounded by dark forces, gentlemen. You must work fast and be invisible.
Chandler's with Kent.
For a while there, I didn't trust anyone. I didn't trust Miles, I didn't trust the commander, and I didn't trust you. I was wrong. I'm sorry.
I was there the night the incident room was burgled.
Well, why didn't you say anything?
I couldn't do anything to stop them. I didn't want you to know.
Well, from now on, leave your ego out of it. All that matters to me is the truth.
At Angie's, the twins are with Jack Cheshire.
I'd like to introduce the armourer for the world's biggest triad.
A suited guy comes in.
The Red Pole Enforcer of the 14K.
What's in the case?
A fine needle springs out of the case.
The assassin's briefcase.
Yeah.
Is it loaded?
Inside a corner of the case is a small glass bottle and narrow tubes.
Succinylcholine chloride causes paralysis and death within seconds. Then it breaks down and is almost impossible to detect.
That'll do for D.I. Chandler.
But you need to be close to use that.
You need to be close to see the fear in his eyes when he dies.
At Buchan's, Miles is writing on the flip chart.
Ah, you see what you did there? Beggar. It's AR, not...
Well, what difference does it make? Everyone knows what it is.
It is a mistake. A small one, I grant you, but one mistake begets another until you are mired in confusion and misapprehension.
Bugger off. ER.
Example. A mistake was not making your inquiry secret from the beginning. I think that has made a difference. After all, you are a man down.
Look. I know this is your house. Your tea bags, your, doilies. But that does not give you the right to tell me how to do my job. We are detectives. You are the bloody tea lady.
I am more than that.
Know your place.
You, sir, force me to show my hand.
He picks up a file, tucks it under his arm and goes to a door.
I'll see you on the patio.
Miles follows him out to the dimly lit patio.
As you know, I've been conducting my own inquiries recently. What you didn't know is that my investigation has been into the murder of your father, Freddy the Dipper.
You have no business looking into my family!
Do you want to know what happened or not?
Miles shuffles from side to side.
What's to know? He was a clown.
No. You should hear the truth. Your father invited Ronnie Cray to tea.
Yeah, I remember. I was there.
Yes. Well, it appears that Ronnie took a bit of a shine to you.
Oh, really? Well, that's funny, because he scared the life out of me.
No, I mean, he really liked the look of you. And your father didn't like that, not one bit. So he told Ronnie in no uncertain terms to stay away from you. But Ronnie was very angry at being told what he could and couldn't have. He was used to getting his own way. So he asked Freddy to go fishing. And... I'm sorry to say, he had Freddy shot in the head.
Miles turns his back to Buchan.
Your father was protecting you. He stood up to Ronnie Cray because he loved you. You don't need to be so angry with everybody all the time. You're going through life on the defensive, keeping everyone back, but...
were all on your side. Just like your father.
Buchan rubs his eye.
Do you know what happened to the body?
Not yet.
Buchan wipes his nose as Miles heads off into the nighttime darkness. Sunlight streams over the rooftop of Buchan's narrow terraced house. Inside, Miles sits with his back to a window.
If they liked the look of you, you were chosen. And you had to do what you were told. Like a slave.
You'd never have been anyone's slave.
Not everyone's so lucky.
Chandler puts down his glass.
You're right. There'll be someone like that in Jimmy's world.
A whistleblower.
No. More than that. Someone who's scared. Who's found themselves trapped in a nightmare and maybe looking for a way out.
I know what you mean. Let's throw him a lifeline.
You can't box and smoke, you'll have no stamina. You'll be wheezing on your knees at the first round bell.
Well, maybe he knocks out his opponents before he gets out of breath.
Watching from a car, they see Jimmy give the blonde boy a kick.
Here he goes.
They pull up in a street beside the boy.
Get away from me.
We just want to have a chat.
I can't talk to you.
You don't really have a choice.
The boy gets in the back seat of Miles' car and glowers at Chandler.
If I'm seen, I'm good as dead.
Don't worry. I know a place where you never see villains. Or policemen.
They're in a gallery.
How old are you? 16, 17?
The boy's on a bench, head bowed.
It's okay to want out. It's not betrayal, it's self-preservation.
You must see that it's all going wrong for Jimmy now. His days are numbered.
Miles crouches in front of him.
Don't go back. If you come with us, then as of now, you're free. You get your life back.
A real life. Anywhere you want. Flat, a job, a future.
I don't know much. I was picked for my entertainment skills. I don't get invited to the war councils.
What do you know?
Well, no, Jimmy's big secret. Right, Jimmy thinks that being gay like his dad is a really important part of the legend. But he's not gay.
He's pretty good at faking it.
He ain't faking it. I am.
He lifts his shirt. Miles raises his eyebrows.
I'm a girl.
Chandler looks at the youngster in amazement, at Buchan's.
So, Jimmy's only pretending to be gay. Question is, how far does the pretense go?
Well, we started off thinking that the killer was a copycat.
And then we meet Jimmy and Johnny Cray, and like everyone else, we believe in the legend. The legend says the Crays will return. That their sperm has been frozen and kept until the day when they should be resurrected. Was Angie really chosen to be the surrogate? Are they real Krays? Or is it all fantasy? Are they just fakes?
If we can prove they're not real Krays, the legend will collapse. They won't have the power of the Kray name anymore.
Imagine a fury. No one likes to be conned.
Especially a villain.
But how can we prove to everyone that they're not Ronnie's sons?
We need DNA.
How are we going to get DNA from Ronnie?
Eureka.
A display case. Buchan, in a wool hat and raincoat, creeps over to the Kray's display case and picks open a lock. He lifts a glass lid and takes out an envelope. He lifts the flap, then tucks the envelope under his coat and casually heads out.
Soon afterwards, they join the famous wrestling club, the so-called Nursery of Champions.
Yes, sure. Okay.
Please don't ask me how I obtained this unless you can offer me immunity from the law.
I shan't ask then.
Will do. Thank you.
Ronnie's DNA captured, as if in amber.
Here we go.
All we need now is Jimmy's DNA.
Jimmy and Johnny, mercenaries in the Congo 10 years ago. With Stephen Jukes.
A photo. Chandler and Miles head to the boxing club.
I've told you before, don't listen to Buchan. You walk in there, everyone will know we're not R. Stephen Toby Jukes in Somerset. We will lose that protection.
You don't have to be here.
You don't need a sergeant, you need a nanny. Someone who doesn't get bored of telling you you're gonna get yourself killed.
Clock off, Miles. Seriously.
Oi! What you done with my boy?
I haven't done anything with anyone. My inquiry's been shut down.
If I find out you've touched an hair on his head, I'll punch your face so hard you'll shit eyeballs.
Oi!
Go on. I wanna see you try.
Oh, I get it. You want Jimmy Cray to lose his cool?
I ain't falling for that, no. If you wanna fight me, we'll do it properly. Sportsmanlike. In the ring.
No.
Best of three.
Hey, sir, don't!
You hear that, boys? It's on.
Miles, I need you to tape me up.
Ronnie Cray was a vicious fighter. If Jimmy really is his son, you could be in for a world of pain.
Stop worrying. I was junior boxing champion in prep school.
You know he wants to kill you. Stepping in there is just giving him a golden opportunity.
Yeah, well, let's see if he can hit me first.
I'm going to look for a towel that I can throw in the ring.
Chandler climbs into the ring. Jimmy throws a punch.
Don't let him back you up! Oi, below the belt!
Jimmy's battering Chandler. Chandler covers his face. Jimmy has Chandler in the corner of the ring. Chandler's nose is bleeding. Jimmy walks away. A tattooed guy mops Jimmy's face.
What's with all the defence? He's soaking up his punches like a sponge.
That's the game plan.
It's not a game plan, it's a death wish. But whatever you're going to do, don't leave it too late.
Chandler ducks Jimmy's punch and lands a body blow.
You're gonna fight back now, are you?
Jimmy pushes Chandler against the ropes. Chandler reels from Jimmy's blow.
Fight back!
Chandler punches Jimmy's glove, then protects his face. Chandler sends Jimmy reeling with a blow to the head. Chandler repeatedly punches Jimmy's head. Stephen Jukes is in the ring. To Chandler.
Get out of here now.
Chandler heads across the ring to Miles and holds out his gloved hands. Miles wipes them with a towel.
DNA. Celebrate later. Move.
Jukes dabs a towel on Jimmy's bloodied face. At Buchan's.
Well, this was probably him and all.
We found the Kingmaker.
Stephen Jukes. We know.
How do you know? What happened? Someone hit you, sir.
Miles marches in the mortuary, carrying the evidence to Dr. Llewellyn.
There's the DNA. Let's find out if Jimmy really is a Cray.
A montage of DNA testing. A pipette is put in a test tube containing a bloodied piece of towel, in vitrogen equipment, graphs labelled human DNA. Organised Crime Division. Chandler and Miles are shown in DCI Casanova's office.
Thank you for coming, gentlemen. I'd heard a rumour that you'd been harassing Jimmy Cray, but I didn't quite believe it.
It wasn't harassment, it was boxing.
What are you doing? Your inquiry is over. If he makes a complaint, you're finished.
He won't complain. The fight was stopped before I could do any real damage, and you know who stopped it?
I don't know. The ref?
Stephen Jukes.
Oh, really? Is that why you're here? To launch into another conspiracy theory.
You said there was no Cray copycat. Then you told us that Jimmy and Johnny Cray were nobodies.
Yeah, they were nobodies.
Jukes is the kingmaker.
No, you are. It's always been you, you and your theory. You brought the Crays back to power. Congratulations.
Well done.
Congratulations.
That's not true.
Yeah. You know, it's an open secret that you suffer from certain problems, mental issues, so it's no wonder your judgment was impaired.
Oi, don't cross the line!
The Ripper was a failure. Very public. And you needed a comeback, a big case. And in many ways, you have succeeded. Because this is gonna be a big case, just not in the way that you want.
You don't know what the hell you're talking about. All you care about is your stats and awards and sod the rest of us on the streets!
He's got a good point.
He's noticed the DCI Shoes, who's staring out Miles.
Let's go.
You're lucky, mate, because I'm just warming up.
Snarling, he storms out. At the door, Chandler turns to Casanova.
Nice shoes.
At Buchan's, Miles is by the flip chart. Buchan's at the table by Mansell, reading newspaper cuttings. Kent's elbows on the table, his head resting against his hand, Chandler slowly pacing. Miles has flipped over a page of the chart. Chandler picks up a shoemaker's last. He smooths the wood with his thumb, then puts it down and picks up his jacket.
Where are you going?
The Grave Maurice.
What, so they can get a clear shot at you?
It's the last place they'd expect me. Kent, come with me.
Mansell's holding his jacket and chucks it down. Kent's at a table with a glass of juice. Chandler's eyeing shelves of shoemaker's last.
We're really not welcome here, sir.
Why not?
He sees a burly guy staring.
No, I mean it. Feels like we might die in the next 30 minutes or so.
What I have to do should take less than 30 minutes.
He goes to a shelf and picks up a last.
Attention to detail. That was Nipper Reed's key to catching Ronnie and Reggie Cray. The answer's been here all along, staring at us. We just weren't paying attention.
A last.
S. Dukes.
J. Cray.
There's only one pair of those.
Identical feet.
Look at this one. Casanova, Jesus. Yeah. Bastard went native on us.
It's all been there ever since the beginning.
Tower Bridge at night. Chandler's at a gentleman's club and descends a wide staircase past a grandfather clock. He goes in a washroom. Casanova follows him in.
Hello, Joe. I was wondering when I'd see you, ever since you mentioned my shoes.
Why have you been protecting the craze? Do they have something on you?
No, they don't have anything on me. The Krays created the Federation of Crime, so they controlled all the gangs. It suited everyone. Zero crime.
They were murdering people, shooting at police, wounding, blackmailing.
Isn't it better to know who the criminals are? Isn't it better to know that there will be a handful of deaths rather than random acts of violence by unknown criminals creating a climate of fear for everyone? There's something wrong with the way you make decisions. Come on, this time.
He taps his head with a gun.
Think about it. Think about the ramifications. You had the Ripper in your hand and you let him go. And now you want to destroy me, my office, and everything we have built up with the craze to protect the public. There'll be gang warfare. There'll be no control, and the streets will run with blood. Think it through.
I have. And it comes down to this. Right and wrong.
Where do you come from? 1960? You're an anachronism, Chandler.
He's pointing the gun at Chandler.
You don't belong in this world.
I'm willing to bet there's quite a few policemen out there who share my beliefs. You're gonna kill us all?
Chandler closes his eyes and clenches his jaw as Casanova keeps the gun pointed at him. Chandler's splattered with blood. He opens his eyes and looks down. Casanova's lying face up on the floor, a dark pool of blood flowing from his head. Chandler's at his flat. He's in a shower, fully clothed, and scoops blood from the neck of his shirt, lowers his hand and lets the blood trickle off. He's sitting cross-legged in a glass-fronted cubicle. Miles comes in and turns off the water. Chandler looks up at him.
We got the DNA results back. Ronnie's not the dad.
You think you're in control, but you're not. No one is. So
nothing but chaos and lies.
I told you this investigation would take you to some dark places, didn't I? But you don't have to stay there.
When Casanova shot himself, he was standing so close to me. I got his breath on my face.
He gets up and perches on a bench, leaning forwards and covering his face.
I'm not strong enough to bring this case in. I'm not Nipper Reed.
No, you're bloody not. And you weren't Abilene either. You are Joseph Chandler, and you better get used to it.
He pushes open the shower door.
Nobody said you had to be the greatest detective that ever lived. Only the best detective that you can be. And so sometimes you'll fail. That's okay. We all fail sometimes. But it's not okay to give up.
He holds out his hand.
Get up, sir.
Chandler stares up at him.
Go away, Miles.
Miles, Kent and Mansell are in a snooker club.
Stephen Dukes.
Either arrest me or get off my premises.
Easy. We're here because you've been the victim of a crime.
What crime?
Deception.
In an office, Miles unfolds the Congo photo.
You and the twins, obviously, go back a long way.
They must have been, what, 18 then? And they were good soldiers from what we hear.
You don't find boys like that often with that sort of commitment. They weren't there for the money. They were real fighters.
You fought side by side, and that builds up trust, loyalty. And when you came back, you repaid that loyalty by introducing them to your family, your friends.
You vouched for them.
You made them.
As far as I was concerned, they proved themselves. Their dad would have been proud.
Their birthright.
Yeah.
Except for one thing. They're not crazed.
Bollocks.
Look. The top line is Ronnie Cray's DNA. The bottom line is DNA taken from the twins. Ronnie is not their father. They lied to you. They conned you. Couple of wannabe gangsters in love with the legend.
You've been had.
Well, who are they then?
The sons of Angie Brooks. That's all we know for sure.
Jimmy and Johnny Brooks.
And when everybody finds out, and they will find out soon, the whole legend will collapse. And all the people who were blackmailed and extorted and wounded and robbed in the Cray name will no longer be afraid. And they'll want someone to blame.
I know what you're after. I'm not a grass.
That ain't grassing. It's taking revenge. It's time to give them up, Stephen.
Organised Crime Division. Mansell heads along a corridor and gives Kent handcuffs.
You do the honours.
Why?
You've been through more than all of us. You're all under arrest for perverting the course of justice.
Come on,
this way, son. This way.
There's number 9. Stay on the ground floor. The armed response unit will go upstairs.
Miles is in a street and sees Chandler drive up.
Didn't expect to see you.
I may stumble, but I don't give up.
Armed police approach Angie's door. Jim is on the couch and slowly raises his hands and kneels on the floor.
Don't you know who I am?
I know who you're not.
What are you talking about, policeman?
You're not a Cray. You never were and you never will be.
Shut up! Get him out of there! Shut up!
Mama! Run! Mama!
Johnny's been brought downstairs.
They don't know.
They're with Angie.
They really think they're Ronnie's sons.
Why did you lie to them? Why did you make them believe they're something they're not?
Isn't it better to be a somebody than a nobody?
She's in a satin robe, sitting with an album of photos on her lap.
Because of your lies, your sons will spend the rest of their lives in prison.
I did what any mum would do. I wanted my boys to have the world. And they had it for a while, didn't they?
A photo of Angie between her sons who wear boxing gloves. A photo of the Krays in a similar pose. Anderson's having lunch.
Excuse me. Joe, how are you?
It's over. We've got them.
He's with Cheshire.
Jimmy and Johnny are in the cells at Whitechapel Police Station. Well done.
You still want me to play guardian angel for your boy?
No, not anymore. It's time to play to your other strengths. I want it done quickly. Then you need to disappear.
Are you sure you want to do that? Once you cross that line, there's no going back.
Well, we've come this far together. Why stop when there's only one job left?
Jimmy's eye looks out of a peephole in his cell.
What have you done with my brother?
Where's my brother?
Johnny's here. He's in the next cell.
Where are you going, Johnny Clay?
Johnny sits still in his cell. Chandler walks across the checkered incident room floor.
Welcome back, gentlemen.
He goes in his office. A montage of London skylines. Miles is in a cemetery. He joins Buchan at a graveside and looks at a headstone.
Who's she? Ronnie Cray used to pay a friendly undertaker to hide extra bodies in the coffins. My research suggests that Freddy the Dip has been sharing eternity with Miss Queenie Flowers.
I always thought it'd be in the foundations of the Bow Flyover. So this is quite nice, really.
A drink to your father?
It's single malt. Yeah. He hated that blended shit.
Buchan pours whiskey in the cap of a bottle.
To Freddy.
To Dad.
Miles drinks from the bottle.
Oh. I gotta go.
He nods at Buchan. Chandler and Miles descend stairs to the custody suite.
Jimmy may not be Ronnie's son, but it seems he's a lot more like him than we thought.
Paranoid schizophrenic.
Whatever he is, he's a danger to himself. A secure unit's the best place for him, though.
This could be a scam. An excuse to get him on the road so he can escape. I'm not going to let him out of my sight till he's under lock and key again.
I couldn't agree more.
He's been sedated. He won't be any trouble.
Jimmy's escorted through a doorway towards them.
You keep looking over your shoulder. I ain't done with you yet, policeman.
He glares at Chandler. Cheshire's in the police station foyer. He picks up the assassin's briefcase and follows an officer to a door. He grabs the door as it closes behind the officer and pulls it open. Miles and Chandler are escorting a handcuffed Jimmy along a corridor. They lead him outside where a group of officers are gathered.
Jack?
Chandler's crouched over Jimmy, who's on the ground.
Miles, what about Johnny? We can't let him get to Johnny.
A montage of blurred images of Chandler heading to Johnny's cell. He's pushed open the door. Chandler clutches a hand to his head. Johnny's lying on his cell floor. Anderson's fireside.
Jimmy and Johnny made too many enemies. It was impossible for you to save them. A toast.
I don't drink when I'm on duty. You created the vacuum you wanted. What will you do with all the power?
Well, that's a fresh start for everyone, including you, if you want.
No, thank you. I'm happy where I am.
Power in itself is not a bad thing, Joe. It's how you choose to use it. Come on, Joe, what do you want? I'm offering you the world.
I don't want it.
Then how about all the interesting cases? Wherever they may be. Come on, Joe.
Chandler shakes Anderson's hand.
Done.
ITFC audio description.